always worth saying. Question time review. Question time, the 6th of February, 2020. The panel, Robert Buckland, Conservative, Stella Creasy, Labour, Sir Edward Davey, Liberal Democrat, Rachel Shabby, journalist, Adam Pearson, actor. The venue, Harpenden. In keeping with recent tradition, your humble reviewer has never been to, through, or even under this week's Question Time venue. Given that Harpenden is halfway between Luton and Lundonistan, and since, on at least one night of the year, it contains Stella Creasy, frankly, he's not complaining. Although remainification has been relatively light on recent QTs, our de-remainification warfare unit will remain vigilant. Elsewhere, two continuity remain themes have become apparent, trade deal and the union, neither of which the Remainers could give a stuff about, and both of which are used only to knock Brexit. Will these be employed on tonight's programme? We shall see. As for Harpenden, it is part of Hertfordshire's Hitchin and Harpenden constituency, which voted 60-40 to remain at the EU referendum in 2016. At the general election in 2019, it returned a Conservative MP, Abimbola Afolami. Neither sounding nor looking local, one wonders if Bim is one of the Cambridgeshire, or even Buckinghamshire, Afolamis. In the BBC blurb about the venue, they remind us that Eric Morecambe lived there. That would explain his affinity with Luton Town. Presumably, in the other direction, he commuted to the nearby BBC studios at Elstree. Speaking of the former, one good story before we continue. The supporters of an unfashionable Northern Lower Divisions footballs team arrived at Kenilworth Road and spotted Eric standing at the players' entrance. Black frame spectacles, cigar, shiny painted leather shoes, camel hair coat. "We left Carlisle at 4 o'clock this morning," they boasted to him. "I don't blame you, gentlemen," he replied, quick as a flash. Question one related to the automatic release of terrorist prisoners, no doubt regarding the terrorist attack in Streatham at the weekend. Stella Creasy, Labour, mentioned far right. "There is a ticking time bomb. The prison service cannot cope. Radicalisation must be disrupted. However, public protection cannot be done on the cheap." Robert Buckland, Conservative, claimed that the problem was caused by a small number of people and the solution was for a large number of agencies to work together. He told us that we were world leaders in this kind of thing and that people came from all over the globe. Money well spent by places such as Czechoslovakia, Poland and Latvia, as they don't seem to have such problems. I can't think of another reason why not. Can you? Ed Davey, Lib Dem, has discovered a magic dust that can be sprinkled onto jihadis, which turns them into the likes of Ed Davey. Radicalisation is caused because of the way that prisons are run, not because they are full of Muslims. More magic dust required. Huge applause from those in the audience who were deluded. A contributor from the audience then blamed Brexit distraction. Now, Rachel Shabby, journalist, is an interesting case study. She is Jewish and her family are originally from Iraq. My spies tell me that between the wars, about one third of the population of Baghdad were Jewish. I'll wager today that the proportion is zero. In her native London, she needs the protection of a Jewish neighbourhood watch, Shomrim, as well as the Metropolitan Police. When she's in Israel, and she often is, she will be bombarded by missiles from neighbouring states. According to Rachel, Muslim terrorism is caused by cuts, 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 the government and the government again. More magic dust required. Adam Pearson agreed with everything previously said, and I think mumbled something about Brexit. There are social factors involved. Prison makes things worse. It is worth pointing out, and not necessarily only for those of you who don't have a television set, that Adam Pearson, through no fault of his own, and through a terrible accident of birth, is from Croydon. A contributor from the audience claimed childhoods filled with hate could be countered by teaching equality, values, and anything else that gave this contributor a nicey feeling. Some more ingredients to stir into this magic dust. No wonder it appears to be in such short supply. There's a consensus that the solution to radicalization is based upon initiatives rather than the use of force. That consensus is wrong. Might this humble reviewer suggest that there is no guarantee that different cultures can coexist peacefully in the same place at the same time? That we are at war with Islam, always have been and always will be? That the only consideration in war is victory, and that if you're on the watch list, then you should be on the plane back to your country of origin? Question 2 asked about initiatives that could be attached to the 2035 fossil fuel car ban. The panel in general, and Rachel Shabby in particular, were keen on a 15-year Stalinist-type plan. She's going to build gigafactories. There is a climate crisis. She's even going to build a carbon capture gigafactory up the north. What on earth is one of those? People will not switch. The giant state will do it for them. Ed Davey chipped in to mention the unused wind power in the middle of the night and took the credit for it, as he'd been in the coalition's Ministry of Energy. As I type, trust me, it's the middle of the night, wind power, via GridWatch, is at 13% of our electricity demand. Ed's electric car will get him 1/7 of the way from Harpenden to his South London mansion. He can push it for the rest of the way. Climate derangement syndrome was unchallenged by the chair or audience. 0.04% of the Earth's atmosphere is CO2. A fraction of that is caused by human activity, and a fraction of that occurs in the UK. Banning fossil fuel cars will make no difference at all. Adam Pearson touched upon the point. There aren't enough charging points. If EVs aren't as cheap or convenient as fossil fuel cars, then people won't choose them. It's not about choice or carbon, Adam. It's about a particular type of authoritarian globalisation. Did somebody mention derangement syndrome? The next question asked if the Donald had been helped or hindered by impeachment. Trump has become Teflon. Nothing sticks on him, while simultaneously being the mud monster, claimed Adam Pearson. If you throw mud at him, it just sticks and makes him bigger. Adam seemed baffled by this rather than hysterical. Trump derangement syndrome rating, 4 out of 10. Trump's chances of success in November have increased. According to Ed Davey, the Donald had also increased instability in the Middle East by defeating ISIS, and in North Korea by keeping Kim Il-jong in his box. TDS rating, 6 out of 10. It was right to impeach, even though he was never going to be impeached. It wasn't a real trial because there was no evidence. Those of you without a TV will have to picture Rachel Shabby getting a bit triggered. TDS rating, 7 out of 10. Stella Creasy noted the normalisation of politics without rules and warned that Boris would be the same. She mentioned corrupt dealings with the Ukraine, but omitted to mention that that was the Bidens. TDS rating, 6 out of 10. Donald is remote from The Hill, complained Robert Buckland. This reviewer wonders if Donald's supposed to spend less time with the taxpayers and voters and more with cranks like Pelosi and unpleasant loons like the Squad. Buckland did, rightly, note that the Democrats are a shambles. Creasy interrupted. Not at all happy with her 6 out of 10, she shouted, minorities and World War III. Fair game to her. It's an 8. Question 3 was more of a fashion statement. Literally. A posh totty showing a bit of shoulder, happening upon the hall on her way home after being banged over a wheelie bin outside one of those posh houses where the Morecambes lived, asked, am I improperly dressed? Presumably a reference to sad old slapper Tracy Babin, who couldn't be on tonight's show because she's the last single mon propping up a bar in a working men's club during Grabber Grand Night in Batley. Stella Creasy, black frock with stars on, like a witch, said that women cannot win and mentioned World War III again. Unlike Sir Ed Davey, who wins every time because he doesn't wear a tie. Ding dong, the rascal, matron. He blamed the right wing and told us that it has to stop. Adam Pearson reminded us that merit lies in what is said and how people behave, not upon appearances. He went on to say that he has an off-the-shoulder black thing too, but he doesn't wear it often. We have a winner. A contributor from the audience announced that they'd all been told by the BBC to turn up in smart casuals and that all the ladies on the panel had dressed in a particular way. The said ladies then began to squabble with each other about their dresses and talk over each other, which made it difficult to take them seriously. A very plain girl in the audience, perhaps just wearing the wrong clothes, said something, but I wasn't taking any notice of her. Then a stunning black woman, dressed as Wallace Simpson, spoke, but my eyes were out on stalks and my jaw had dropped so far that my ears had shut while I dribbled onto the carpet, whose appearance as a weapon of war, us poor men have no chance. Creasy mentioned her wimple. No, I couldn't see it either. Would it be under the desk? Buckland said that he hadn't noticed Tracy's dress, as he'd been looking at her ankles that needed to be bound nice and tight. Quick, change the subject. The final question asked if Boris should talk to all of the press or just the ones he likes. Journalist Chubby became triggered bigly and snarled. Ministers were banned from Today. Buckland said he loved Today, but Andrew Neil's confrontational style exhibited a "what's the point" response from politicians. Creasy wanted a vibrant, lefty, Tory-hating media. Adam Pearson noted that anyone can be nice to their friends. Davies stood up for the BBC. And that was it. Little mention of trade deal, none of the union. I shall have to, like Tracy Brabham at a grab-a-grand night, try a bit harder next week.